Deuteronomy chapter 6, and begin to read in verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Now notice there is a promise. I'm not going to dwell with this long. But notice in keeping of God's word, he told them that their days would be prolonged right there. So what's that tell me if we don't keep God's word? Hear therefore, O Israel, and deserve to do it, that it may be well with thee. So in other words, if you want things to go well in your life, keep God's word. And that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now take your Bible and go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go over two chapters from here and begin to read in verse 6. Now in the prior, in the first five verses, the Lord reminds them of what he done, bringing them out of the land of Egypt, how he blessed them. He didn't let their clothes wear out. He didn't let their shoes wear out. He fed them with manna. He fed them with what he wanted them to have. But then we pick up in verse 6, and the Bible says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in my heart, my power, and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly need you. We certainly need a touch and that from heaven this morning. And Lord, we pray that you just guard our mind and our thoughts. Lord, we pray that you'd keep the devil and that hindered out of this service, and keep him from hindering people and keep him from hindering me this morning. And Lord, we're just looking to heaven for some help and from an unction from the Holy One. We pray that you would save the one that's lost, maybe more than one here that is lost today, and we pray that they'd move and trust you, and Lord, that the power of God might be real upon their life to move them. And Lord, as we preach, I pray that folk that need help would find help. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give comfort to those that need comfort today. Would you please come by and just give us power from that from on high and from heaven. We'll give the glory for it all. Lord, we thank you so much that you come to us. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in saving us. Again, guard our mind and our thoughts and save that sinner's newest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 8, as the Lord is getting the nation of Israel ready to go into the promised land, they have wandered some 40 years in the wilderness. God has took care of them. He has fed them. He has watched over them. Even in their rebellion, God has took care of them. That is what is amazing today, is in their rebellion, God still watched over them. But he's given them instruction about some things that's going to come to pass and some things that they need to do when they come into the land. Now, I want to preach having a thought today, and there's a lot to these scriptures, and we'd be here all day and all night if we tried to deal with all of them. But I want to deal with the thought today of the problem with prosperity. The problem with prosperity. You know what's wrong with our nation? How we've lived in prosperity for so long that we forgot God. Our nation has forgot what it was founded on. Our nation has forgot where blessings came from. Listen, it said that do what? In chapter 6 and in verse 12, what did he say? He said this, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What done that? The prosperity that they were given. You go to chapter 8 and look in verse 11. After they had eaten, and in verse 10 said, and art full, said, beware in verse 11 that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments. You come on down and he tells us again, don't forget God and what he's done. That word beware simply means to guard oneself from something. It means to regard with caution or to restrain oneself from what might be dangerous. I think every one of us has probably seen the beware of the dog sign. You better restrain yourself from going in somewhere that dog is going to get you. You ever seen somebody put up a beware of the dog sign and all they had was a little chihuahua? I don't know if I would be afeared of that thing or not. When me and Kelly was dating, after we got married, Bobby and Linda, I had a big old dog out there and his name was Samson. And Bob would say, he won't bother you. He won't bother you at all. I never trusted that at all. Amen. Any dog that could drag his doghouse across the yard, I'm going to worry and beware of that dog. Amen. Listen, today we need to beware of prosperity. Not that you can't be prosperous, and not that our nation shouldn't be prosperous, but friend, the problem with prosperity, and I'll just cut to the chase this morning, is it draws us away from God if we're not careful. Listen, I believe that God wants us to be prosperous. How do you know that? 3 John and verse 2 said this, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Listen, I believe God wants us to be prosperous, and I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel this morning, that if you live right, then God is going to bless you and give you all the money in the world, and find vehicles and find lands and find properties, and if you don't live right, that God will take it all away. Listen, I want you to understand something. Prosperity is not a sign of righteousness today. And you need to get a hold of that. It is not. Because listen, we're living in one of the most prosperous nations that there ever was. And we're some of the most unrighteous people that there ever was. We're heathenistic. Our nation is heathenistic today and wicked and vile. But I want to look at some things. But notice what he said. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health." He said, "Look, I want you to be healthy. I want you to prosper in everything that you set out to do." But he put a stipulation on it. And he said, "Even as thy soul prospereth." He said, "I want your soul and that to prosper in me." He said, "I want you to grow in me." And prosperity that we have today seems like to have drawn us away from God. Proverbs chapter 1 says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." It's in what you do with prosperity is what matters. It's what you do in that prosperity. Understand where your prosperity and that comes from. Look in the first three verses of chapter 6. Notice what he said. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in a land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Notice that he said the first things that he said here, and I'm just going to give you this in way of introduction. He said, "Look, you keep God's commandments. You teach them to your children and your children's children." I'm going to deal with that here in a minute. But he come down here and he said, "Observe to do it." He said, "It'll be well with you." He said, "You'll increase mightily as God has promised, in a land that floweth with milk and honey." Don't we have a great nation today? Don't we have a wonderful nation? I mean that we're blessed from sea to shining sea, from border to border. God has gave us a great nation and that to live in, with every kind of natural resource that you can imagine. I gave us every technological advance that you could ever imagine. And yet man has got away from God. You don't know what's wrong with our nation today? Prosperity. Do you know that even the poorest people in our nation is living the life when you compare to the poor people in third world countries? You hear our missionaries come through and they talk about poor people where they come from and where they go. They're living in three-walled shacks with dirt floors, with animals running in and out, with fleas jumping everywhere, wondering where they're going to get their next meal. And we've got people today that's poor, but friend, they're rich compared to the rest of the world. One person said, "If you live in the United States," I don't know how true this is, it sounds good. "If you live in the United States and got a job, you're in the top 1% in the world." I'd say that's true. Didn't say what kind of job, just if you got a job. If you're making money, doing something, and that to prosper. But the problem with prosperity is it's drawn us away from God. I want to look at just a few things. How to keep the problem of prosperity in check. Notice what God told them to do first. He said in verses 4 and 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with" what? "With all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So what's the first thing that our nation needs to do to get back on the right path? What's the right thing for you to do, friend, in the very fact of it? Now look out across the crowd, and I know just about every one of us. I've been in most of your homes. I see what you drive. I know where you work. I know what you do. I can formulate some kind of plan as to how much money you're probably making. I don't care how much money you're making. Don't matter to me. Just spend it on the Lord. Amen. But listen today. What did he say? He said, "Look," he said, "what?" He said, "Our Lord is one Lord. You realize that every nation around them had more than one God. They come up out of the land of Egypt, and that which had more than one God. They worshiped every deity that there was. Is our nation not worshiping everything that it can besides the one and true Lord? And he's telling them, you should love the Lord thy God. He's one. He's only one. He said he's the only one that you should love and give your heart to. Hey, listen, if you're unsaved this morning, you can't love God. But I want you to understand something. He loved you and sent his only begotten son to die for you so that you could get saved. Hey, listen, the Bible said in little John that we love him because he first loved us. I want you to understand something this morning. If you're saved, you are to love God. You, everything about you, you are to love God. You're to love God in your heart and your soul and with your mind, all your strength. You are to love God. You over to the book of Matthew. I believe that he is in the Lord. As there was a lawyer that came to tempt him, he said, Master, which is the great commandment? And in Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus, he said, the first and the great commandment was to love thy Lord with all thy soul, with all thy strength, all thy mind, all thy heart. And then he said, in the second is like unto the first, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these hang all the laws and the prophets. You love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself, you'll do everything else just right. But how much do we love God? Can I ask you something this morning? How much do we love God? Do you love him with all your heart? He said, well, I'm here this morning. Well, some people come because they love him. And some people come because they were going to give him a token of worship this morning. But it's him that we are to love. The world out there has nothing for us. If you're saved this morning, I want you to understand that Jesus died for you and saved you. And it's God that's been blessing you and brought you to the place where you are. You should love him. Well, what's that mean to love God? Well, that means he's first in your life. His word is first. He has everything about you. You know, I used to have a preacher friend. When he would preach, and these things bother me. They bother me. And man, he was a dandy preacher. And he would talk about when he met his wife when they were 16. Talked about he went to church because she had his heart. And he got saved because she got him in church. And he would talk about how much he loved his wife. But yet they're divorced now. Something happened, didn't it? I don't know what happened. I really don't. I can speculate. And I've heard a lot of gossip, a lot of rumors about a lot of things. But listen, I'm going to tell you, when somebody has got your heart and you love somebody with all your heart, friend, you sell out to them. You sell out to them. Listen today, husbands and wives ought to sell out one to another. Hey, the vow that I took over there that day, listen, in October the 8th, when was it, 1994, I believe it was, I said, for richer or poorer, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, for it all, we took each other. Nobody cares about them vows anymore. Better or worse, man. I'm telling you, some days it's just going to be better than others, and some are going to be worse. Huh? There's going to be time. I had a fella call me one time. I married him and his wife, and he called me, and it was the first time his wife ever got sick with a stomach virus, and he called me. He was having a little fun. He said, did I say on that day in sickness and in health? I said, you sure did. And I said, so you're there for the duration, brother. If she gets sick, I guess you'll get sick too, man. I don't know what to tell you. But listen, when we love God with all our heart, we place our faith in him and trust him. Yes, but then he's got everything about us. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So if you're going to love God with all your heart, then you're going to have to serve him with all your heart. What was it that he said? I believe it was in John chapter 14. He said, if you love me, what is it? Keep my commandments. In your prosperity, it'll lead you, some of you this morning, I don't know how you are with tithing. I don't look at the checks. Brother Randy don't show me the checks. If he ain't here and somebody else is doing that, I don't go in there because I don't want it to deter me on how I feel about you. If you give a lot, I don't want that to persuade me to be any kinder to you than I'd be to somebody else that might not give a lot. I'm going to tell you, you need to tithe. And that's what I'm going to tell you. Some of you right now are holding on to your checkbook so tight, or your debit card, or your bank account so much, you can't serve God because you won't turn loose of it. Boy, it got quiet. Brother Jeff, you start talking about money, people get tore up. I'm telling you, you need to serve God, and that will not only listen with your heart, but friend, you're going to have to serve Him with everything you got, and that is your prosperity this morning. He put you where you are and gave you what you've got by His power and by His might, not by yours this morning. Give Him what's due Him this morning. But He said to what? Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And with all thy soul, when you leave out of here, how much service goes on? How much service goes on? Well, I come to church. We come on Sundays and Wednesdays. Hey, listen, we're just here for a few hours in the whole grand scheme of things. There's 24 hours in a day and 7 days a week. Friend, how much are we serving God? Because that's going to tell how much we're loving Him this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We look in verse 11. And it says, but the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. Ain't that something? He said, God cares for that piece of ground over there. You know what? I really believe God cares for our land. I do. I'm telling you, I believe He cares for our land, for our nation. He opened it up to start us a great nation. Do you ever think about why God started this nation? Do you ever think about why God put us in the position that we're in and made us what we are as we are today? One of the freest nations on the face of the earth, made us what they call a superpower. You ever wonder about that? Why God done it? Listen, were we not the ones that were carrying the line? Were we not the ones that were sending out missionaries and trying to send the light out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell what Christ done? He made us a light unto the whole world. And in prosperity, what have we done? We've darkened our light, hadn't we? But He cares for the land. We see a land that the Lord careth for. Verse 12, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even until the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto the commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you're going to love Him, you're going to have to serve Him. You're going to have to serve Him in your treasure. You're going to have to serve Him in your talent. What God has allowed you to be able to do. Huh? You're going to have to serve Him with your time. I preached on that. Your time, your treasures, your talent. I preached on all that stuff. You know, you find that one servant over there, or you find three servants, and he gave one five talents, he gave one two, and he gave one. The one that had five doubled it, the one that had two doubled it, but the one that had one took it, put it in a napkin, dug a hole, and buried it in the earth, and then stamped on top of it. I don't know if he stamped on top of it or not, but it was buried in the earth. And he done what? He hid it. You know what God wants us to do? Whatever He's given us and however He's given us to serve Him. And we all serve Him by being faithful to Him and being a good witness to Him and living holy and living righteous and living separated out of this world. We all do that. But listen, God's gave you some things that you can do to serve Him. What are you doing with what God's gave you to do? If you love Him, you'll keep His commandments. You'll be faithful to Him, whatever the book requires, whatever the book tells you, this book in front of you. I got a message the other day on the books of the Bible. or the books of the church. I told this to my wife and she grinned. I don't know how much she liked it or not. But we have an old black book, the King James Bible. We need that. We got a red book that we sing out of, the church hymnal. And then we've got a green book, and that's your checkbook. Back on tithing again, ain't we? Some of them may be blue. I don't know. Let me move on. I'm going to dig a hole I can't get out of. But notice he said if we love him, we keep his commandments. If you're going to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and all your might, then you're going to have to keep his commandments. Whatever he requires out of you. Holy living, righteous living, separated out of the world. What was it? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father, is not in him. For all that is in the world, love of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth. Listen to me. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This thing is going to burn up. I mean, it's going to burn up and go away. You're going to burn up with it? I hope not. There's so many people got so many ties and roots and wants to be here. And I'm talking about God's people, saved people. They've rooted here. Listen, the Bible talks about Abraham, that he sojourned here and he looked for a city which had foundations whose builder and maker's God. He wasn't looking for here. He was looking for over yonder. Our desire were to be to the Lord, but we have fell in love with prosperity. After the war, well, really when Franklin Roosevelt became president, well, you know, he put the WPA, the work program, into action. That's how TVA came about. All those things. What were they singing? Remember the old song they were singing? Happy days are here again. Going to put two cars in every garage and a chicken in every pot. Is that not what they said? Prosperity. What happened to us after we came out of the war? What happened to us in the late 40s into the 50s? And up through the 60s we began to prosper and prosper greatly as a nation. But what happened in those times? Folk forgot God, didn't they? Generation after generation after generation. Our nation has fell in love with money and prosperity. They fell in love with stuff. Fell in love with stuff. People's credit is astronomical today and off the charts because of stuff. Marketing works. Marketing works. Have you seen the my wife, she brought something out the other day. We were talking about, if you watch any TV at all, there's a Campbell's soup commercial that all it says is talks about being hungry, 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 hungry. And you know what I've done after, you know what that thing will do? It'll make you hungry. You watch that commercial and they show you that soup and they're telling you you're hungry. And my wife said, and you know what you ate today? You ate Campbell's soup. Can't believe it. I didn't realize what I was doing. We've got people in marketing that tells you need stuff that you don't need, to buy it with money that you don't have, to put it in a house that's full of junk now. Our problem with prosperity is it's made us fall in love with stuff. It's made us fall in love with self. I'm not saying I want to be poor. I'm telling you that I want to have whatever God has given me in its rightful place. It's got a place, and it's not to be in your heart. We need to keep the idea of what Job said over there in Job chapter 1. For the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. That's no fun, friend. That's no fun. I watched some friends of mine one time come home and that from vacation in their house is burnt down. I watched that. Everything they had was basically taken away. I watched that happen. That's no fun. Now God has blessed them beyond compare and done more for them than you could ever imagine. But to be in that time of when everything is basically taken away. Proverbs chapter 23 tells us, "Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven." So what do? We fall in love with the Lord. is what you do. Well, I've got hung him up on point one. But then we keep his word. Go back with me and look in chapter 6. What did he say? And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. All right, you love God with all your heart, and then you put what? His word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not, what? Sin against thee. What did he say in Proverbs chapter 4? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what guides you and steers you? Your heart. Your heart. You put the word of God in it, and it's going to steer you right. You do it without the word of God, and it's going to steer you wrong. He said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to take the words that I tell you today and you put them in your heart. That's why this book is so important. That's why you need to read it. Listen, that's why you need to heed to it and keep it and follow it, because it will guide you. If you read it, you apply it, you study it, I beg and pray for an understanding of it, and God will help you with it. And then he said this. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. God said, you need to teach them diligently. You know what that word diligent means? It means a steady application of. How much word's in your house? How much word is taught in your house? How much word is meditated and talked about? Do you talk about the word of God? Me and my wife, we talk about the Bible. We read our Bible. I study my Bible. I'm going to assume my wife studies. She'll ask me questions from time to time. Do you meditate on the word of God? Do you think on the word of God, what he has to say? And then do you teach them to your children? See, it's not my, it is my responsibility, but as a parent, it's your responsibility to teach them to your children. It's not the school system's responsibility. You know the problem we got? You know how we ended up where we are today? We let them take the Bible out of school. I still remember when I went to school, Mr. Buck came and taught us Bible. I ain't never forgot that. Man, they gave him a whole hour to teach us Bible. It's like Sunday school. See, the one good thing that I had, boy, when it come to, and we done Bible drills. Took a bunch of heathenistic kids, and some of them that didn't go to church, and some that went but didn't pay attention, that wasn't saved, and you got this man coming in there that was trying to teach us the Bible. But I did go, I always loved it when we done Bible drills. I mean, I grew up in church all my life. I knew where them books were in the Bible. I loved it. But you know what we've run into today? It's not taught in the home. It's barely taught in a lot of churches. And it's been took out of school. Amen? You know how we've got to where we are? We've quit keeping his word. Prosperity has took over. When you love him, and then you take his word and you put it in your heart, it helps you keep prosperity in its rightful place. He says, teach them diligently to your children. That puts the load on your shoulder. Puts the load on you, moms and dads, to teach it, to be an example to them, to live it before them. You let them do everything else, won't you teach them the Word of God? Let them watch TV, play games, and all those other things. Why don't you teach them the Word of God? He said, you need to teach them. Everywhere. Notice, I want you to understand what he says right here. In every avenue and in every place, you have the Word of God. He said, you talk of them when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. When you go to bed, talk about it. When you get up in the morning, talk about it. When you're out here walking, talk about it. When you're playing with them, talk about it. He said, bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Everywhere you go should be the Word of God. Have a Bible, lay it open in your house. Let them see the Word of God. Let them see you read it. Let them see you live by it. And you say, we're the church. I understand that. But listen, the problem that we're in today is somewhere the church has failed along the way. We've got generations of church people that don't know Bible, that can't quote five scriptures. I listened to a preacher the other day. He asked the church where he was, if I asked you to quote five scriptures on the second coming of the Lord before you could leave, how many of you would have to stay all night? Good question, ain't it? How many of you can quote five scriptures? You say, my mind don't work like it used to. I'm just asking, how many of you could quote five different passages of Scripture? One verse, five verses. How many of you could quote them besides Jesus wept and the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not? I done give you two. We think it's funny and it is comical in a way, but listen, how much of it is in our heart? Our world is in trouble because the church has got lazy in the Word of God. What it mean for this to turn out the way it's going, but here we are. All I want to encourage us to do is not to let prosperity get the better of us. Look in verses 10 and 11. He promised. Notice the promise of His blessings. You love the Lord thy God, and you keep His word. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which He sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. I think about that sometimes. Let me tell you what I think about sometimes. I think about when the rapture happens, somebody else is going to get all my stuff. And my wife is going, boy, they're going to get that gray cat too. They have a love-hate relationship. I think about that. But that is basically what's happening right here when they go into the promised land. They're driving out the enemy and they're taking over them houses and them olive yards and them vineyards. Everything that the enemy has planted, built, sowed, everything that they've done, that's what Israel's getting. And then he goes on to tell them in chapter 8, he said, look, as time progresses on, and you plant and you build and you do, he said, don't forget who done all this. But God bless that nation. God has blessed our nation. They come over here. Listen, you know why Jamestown could never make it, the colonies of Jamestown? Because they come for gold. Read your history. They come for gold. They come to Jamestown. They set up right there on the shore. They never hardly went inland. And they come over here to rob the Indians of their gold. But when them settlers found it up there on Plymouth Rock, they didn't come for gold. They come for religious freedom and that to serve God. And by the way, it wasn't too long after that that they were putting the same laws on preachers and on God's people that they had to deal with over there in England. Go back and read your history. But they come for religious freedom. You need to look at what God's done for you. Look at how He's blessed you. Look at what He's done for you. The prosperity that you have. Every one of us are sitting in here. We don't have on tattered clothes. Amen. These people today barely got clothes to cover themselves. You've got a home to live in. Whether you own it, pay the bank for it, or you rent it, you've got a home to live in it. But I want you to notice what he said in verse 12. I've got to move on. He said, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee out of the land, forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. The warning of prosperity was beware. Verse 11 of chapter 8, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes which I command thee this day. Verse 14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know what we've done as a nation? We have forgot God. Is that not what I started with? We have forgot. Our nation has forgot God. People don't want to talk about God. And when they do talk about God, they talk about the man upstairs. They talk to him. They talk about him as some kind of deity that sits up there and grants wishes and has magical powers. And that's the way people see God today. They see God as some kind of sorcerer. But man, he is a holy God and a just God and a righteous God that has blessed our nation and give us more than what we deserve. And the problem with prosperity is we didn't do what he said to do in chapter 6 and chapter 8, is we let prosperity get the better of us. He said, then why did God prosper us? He said, if you'll just keep my word and do what you're supposed to do, then I'll bless you. And I believe folk have done that up through generations till just sometime back. And it seems like the more prosperous we get, the worse it gets. It seems like the better that we get it, the more people get away from God. One of the worst things that you can do as a parent is give your child everything. It's the worst thing you can do. One of the things that our... And I don't know how hard it's going to get. And I'm going to deal with some of this tonight if God will help me. I don't know how hard it's going to get before the Lord comes and gets the church. I don't know if we're going to get under persecution. I don't know. I don't know if God's going to take His blessing away. I don't know. I know He loves the church. He died for the church. But let me show you in Romans chapter 1 what's happened to us. Go with me here and I'm going to close. Romans 1, look in verse 21. Let's go back to verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They cannot deny God. You look at creation, you see God. Because when they knew God, and by the way, the Bible said they were without excuse, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. We've got governors today in states that said we didn't need God to help us. We've done it on our own, talking about COVID. Bless God, this morning I'm just going to tell you something. Had God not intervened, they'd still all be dead up there. Just telling you. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They try to make God look like us and act like us. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into witches against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves a recompense of their error, which was meat. Talking about sodomy. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's where our nation lies. And it lies there because of prosperity. They forsook God for prosperity and the hope of prosperity. And without God, you will not be prosperous. Our nation cannot go on in the direction that it's going and expect God to bless it. We can't go on in sin and expect God. You can't go on. And I'm talking to church people. I'm talking about the church. Hey, listen, the church is somewhere. Got to make a stand somewhere. I'm going to deal with that tonight. God help us. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house if we would. Let's stand to our feet. If we would, keep your heads bowed and pray as Jacob gets us a little music back there. Listen, if you need to come and pray, I want you to come. Maybe your prosperity has got the better of you. Maybe that's all you're after today is prosperity. Are you worried about something? I'm worried about serving the Lord. I want a right heart. I want a right mind. I want a right home. I want a right checkbook. Listen, I want a right church. I want everything about me to be right according to the Word of God and God being happy with me. I want a right family. I just want everything to be right with Him.